from the front. I didn't realize how many seats were, and it looks good. Looks good to have all the seats full. Several of you were here at 4 o'clock to go through the meeting and hear the reports that Floyd and Mike Richardson were sharing and ask questions. I've sat through all three meetings, as has several of you, and it's been good turnout and good comments and good questions being asked. And it's an exciting time. And we, the West Park congregation, owe a great debt of gratitude to Floyd and to Mike Richardson and to Larry Cummings. Is Larry here tonight? Larry's put in a lot. There he is. He's propped up over there to the side. Huh? Holding the wall up over there. They put in tremendous time and work and effort. Mark has on the financial end of it. Of course, the elders working with them, and I may be forgetting somebody. But I keep bumping into Larry and Floyd and Mike and Mark and all the work that they're doing. And you need to tell them thank you, because they're working hard, and it's a long project. We're not there yet. And that has been expressed a couple of times today. Let me add just one thing on that, maybe to help bring perspective, because as I sit in the meetings and I hear the comments, most of the comments seem to deal with design of the classrooms, the foyers, location of the building on the property, and all of those things are necessary and all those things are important, and they will have to be decided at some point. But right now, as I understand it, what this committee is trying to do is they're dealing with dollars. Dealing with dollars. It would be similar if you were going to a home builder to build you a new house. They're going to ask you, do you want a 2,000 square foot house, a 2,500 square foot house? What size house do you want? And they're going to be able to give you a pretty good idea what it'll cost to build a 2,500 square foot house. Now, you may decide you want to chop it into three bedrooms that are big rooms, or you may want four that are smaller rooms. You may want the master bedroom on the front of the house. You may want it on the back of the house. Those don't change dollars that much. And right now, I think, am I right, Floyd? You're trying to figure out some square footage and some dollars to make the projections for the timetable and everything else. So if you're thinking, I don't like where that classroom is right now, that's okay. You'll have a chance to express that. And I think that's what Mike Pollock is alluding to when he says these are just the first round, and we're going to have more opportunities to have more input, and you will have input on that. So just thought I'd throw that out, maybe as a little bit more explanation of where I think I understand, at least, us being right now. So looking for square footage and dollars right now. Does that make sense? So if there are things that are going to change that significantly, then this is the stage probably need to be talking about that. If it's changing the floor plan, location of the building, color of carpet, whatever, there's plenty of time for that. There'll be plenty of opportunity to be engaged on that. Anyway, for what it's worth, that's what I think I'm hearing. So I'm just throwing that out, perhaps to help along with the process. Jesus was the master storyteller. He seemed to love to tell stories as he would teach and preach and talk to people along the way, as he was trying to train his disciples, as he was trying to make points. He loved to tell stories. We call them parables. Luke chapter 18, there's a very short parable here, verses 1 through 8, that I want to look at tonight. Short little story, but I think there's a whole lot here, and a whole lot here for where we seem to be today in the church and in our nation. And I want us to look at this. Gabe read to us verse 1, where Jesus, or Luke, tells us the purpose of this parable. It says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray not give up. Here's the parable. Here's the story. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge. So that's the first character in the parable. A judge. He's going to render decisions. He's got some authority. Authority to adjudicate problems and bring about judgments. But it says he wasn't necessarily the best fella. He wasn't the one you might want to invite home for dinner. He says he neither feared God nor cared about men. Now that's a pretty sorry thing really to say about somebody. If that's the best you could come up with when you were describing someone, how would you like for that to be on your tombstone, your gravestone? This man didn't fear God, and he didn't care about men. But that's his epitaph. That's his eulogy for us to read for all times, through all the years, even tonight. That's the kind of man that he was. And those two do go hand in hand. They really do. Must have one of those cheap ties on again tonight. Karen, where did I get this one? You blame the last one. Oh, don't. You can't blame her for everything, man. But anyway, we're going to try it a little different there. What I need, I'm going to get one of these days. If I had a bar that was a little bit longer for these, like they have the guys on TV have, it throws it on out into the necktie and it doesn't bump on your coat all the time. So, well, that's what I want for Christmas. If y'all want to know my Christmas present, I want a new clasp for this microphone. But not fearing God and not caring about people, that goes hand in hand. In fact, Scripture says, how can a man claim he loves God when he can't even get along with his brother? How can he claim he loves a God he's never seen when he can't get along with people that are sitting next to him that he does see? Well, this is that judge. Didn't fear God, so he's not a man of principles, and he really just doesn't like people. Didn't care for men. Second character, verse 3, there was a widow in that town. A widow. In this culture, in this time, women didn't have many rights. They didn't have anybody to speak for them. Widows really didn't have any rights. If there wasn't a family member or someone to take over and take care of her, they didn't have many rights. That's why Jesus from the cross looked down at John and said, John, behold your mother. Mary, behold your son. He wanted to be sure there was somebody going to take care of his mother when he was gone. We don't know this for sure, but Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, we don't have any record of him. After Jesus is 12 years old and they're at the temple and they're heading home, and after that, we don't have any record of Joseph. He's not mentioned. So most believe that Joseph may have died. And Jesus may have become the surrogate leader of that household and taken over the carpenter shop. Don't know that, but at this point, on the cross, Jesus wanted to be sure his mother was taken care of. James, when he talks about pure religion, what does he say it is? Taking care of the widows and the orphans. Widows didn't have anybody to take care of them. This widow in that town was one who really had nobody, probably, who was proclaiming her cause, who was coming in and presenting her case. So she went to the judge herself. She evidently has got a lot of spunk. And she goes to the judge. Doesn't just go one time. Verse 3 says she kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. We don't know who her adversary was. We don't know what the charge was. We don't know what her problem was. But I know this, she asked for justice. She doesn't ask to win the lottery. She doesn't ask for a bunch of money. She doesn't ask for a new house, a new car, a new chariot, or whatever they're riding around in. That's not what she asked for. She said, I just want justice. And she keeps asking. And she keeps asking because verse 4 says, for some time he, the judge, refused. So this is not just one occasion. This goes on for a while. Verse 3 says she kept asking. Verse 4 says for some time he refused to grant it. So I don't know how long it takes place, but it's more than just one request. And she wears the judge down. Now, more than likely, he's not even listening to her. She's a widow that doesn't have many rights. She certainly doesn't have any political power behind her. She certainly doesn't have any position. She's certainly not anybody he has to be afraid of. She's one thing. She warts him to death. She worries him to death. It's kind of like the fellow that, and I'll say this for you, I think he's not listening. If you ever have those experiences where somebody really has turned it out, tuned it out and not listening, kind of like the man I was going to tell you about. That he said, my wife said, all she ever wants is money. Said, every day, it's all I hear. Give me some money. I get ready to leave the house, go to work. Give me some money. I get home at night. Give me some money. He said, I get so tired of her asking for money. The guy he's talking to said, well, what does she do with all of it? He said, don't know. I never have given her any yet. You know, I'm not listening. I'm not granting it. Well, that's kind of what's taking place here with this judge, I think. What's she want? What judgment is she going to get? How's she going to react? I don't know. I've refused to grant it each time. But finally, verse 4, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, even though I don't care about men, he admits who he is. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. He gives her what she's asking for, but he really doesn't have any good motives behind giving it. It's not because it's the right thing to do. It's not because he fears God. It's not because he likes people. It's not because he wants to do the proper thing. It's just she's worrying me to death. And I'm going to give it to her lest she finally wear me out. The Greek on this is kind of humorous. I've never really seen the complete tie, but if you really look at the Greek on it, what the Greek says is the judge says, I'm going to grant this to her lest she gives me a black eye. Now, that's the literal translation. I don't know if he says she's going to hit me, she's going to wear me out, if I'm going to have a stroke, what? But it's lest she gives me a black eye. The English translations will say, lest she just wears me out. Well, that's the story. That's the story. You've got a worldly judge. You've got a widow lady. She's persistent. She keeps asking. And the worldly judge finally says, okay, because of your persistence. Because you're just going to wear me down. You're going to give me a black eye. Verse 6, Jesus flips it now and says, here's the application. Listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Jesus said, compare what happens with a worldly judge who nobody likes, and he doesn't like anybody. and compare that even that man, sorry as he is, will finally give justice to the one who is persistent, does not give up in asking. He said, compare that to our Father in heaven, the just judge. Compare that to a God who loves you. Not to a judge who doesn't fear God, to a judge who is God and loves people, cares about His people, His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night. Will He not give justice to them? So the point is, as verse 1 said, you need to always pray and not give up. Now, that parable, simple parable, really, when you look at it. Let's apply it to today. Let's apply it to the church. We look around us and we see the church sometimes in trouble. And we're concerned about it. We worry about it. We really do. And a lot of times we say, what can we do about it? What can I, as one person, do about it? What can I do to try to stabilize things, to try to stop the problems that I see erupting and the absence of following Scripture that I see taking place in the church across the country sometimes? What can I do about it? Pray. Pray. What about our nation? We're sitting in a time, it's unlike any time that I've ever lived through. And I hear people older than me say they've never seen anything like it, for the lack of scruples, the lack of values, the lack of principles that we see taking place. What do we do about it? What do we do individually about it? What do we do collectively as a group about it? Do we grab signs and start picketing? Say, we're going to ask for justice. We're going to ask for our rights. We're going to the picket lines. We write letters. We sign petitions. Do we vote? That's coming up. All these things are things we can do. Some of them things we probably should do. But what does Scripture say? What Scripture says is, will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? No, I tell you, He'll see that they get justice and quickly. Now, I know we get hung up sometimes on quickly. Quickly. We like things to be quick. And my quick may not be your quick, and it certainly may not be God's quick. We want instant everything. We want, you know, we want microwave ovens. We want Karen and I. And it wasn't bad. We had a pizza last night off of Mason Road. What's that thing called? Five? Huh? Pie Five. Anybody been to Pie Five? 2-minute pizza. They advertise. You go in there and you pick what you want, and they put it on there and they stick it in this fancy oven. 2 minutes. It's pretty good. Maybe they'll give me a free one now if I go by there. Y'all go tell them that you heard about it from me. But we want things quick. We don't want to wait. We want it now. We can go on the internet. We can Google anything. We can learn about it right now. We don't have to wait and go to the library and check out a book. Try to figure it out. So that's our quickly. It may not be God's quickly, but God will do it. And in His time, His time is different from ours. But He says, I will judge. I will repay. I will take care of this. And He will. He will. I'll take you over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The context over here, what's going on, is Solomon's just dedicated the temple. They're going through a time when they finally got the temple built. David had the plan to build the temple. He gathered up the materials to build the temple, but God said, you're not going to build the temple. You're a man of war. You're a man of blood. You're not going to do it. Solomon built the temple. And they're dedicating the temple. And you get to verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 11, says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace, had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night. And here's what he said. He said, I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, bad stuff happening. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their heads or turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I will heal their land if they'll turn back to me and they'll pray. What can we do today? What can God's people do today? I think we can be persistent in prayer. And we need to be persistent in prayer for our personal needs, for our personal justice, but also justice for the church, the kingdom, and justice for our nation. Last verse of this parable. He says, I tell you, he'll see that they get justice and quickly. But here's the clincher. Here's the punchline. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Think about that. Jesus is asking that question all the way back here when he's giving this parable, teaching this parable, Luke chapter 18. And he says, when it comes time, when this earth is rolled up, and Jesus comes again, will he find faith among his people? Will he find us still praying, still holding on, still persistent in calling for justice? That's what we can do. And I believe that's what the Lord expects us to do in any situation. It's a good question, isn't it? Jesus said, when I come again, will I still find those who are faithfully, faithfully praying the prayers? Tonight, if we can help you in any way in your walk with God, if we can help you and assist you in putting Jesus on in baptism, if you need the prayers of this good church, we invite you to come.